You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Let's find the scripture, Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, and let me read it to you. David cries out, he said, "Make your ways known to me, Lord, and teach me your paths." Verse 5, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and I wait for you all day long." Let's pray. Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from his children. We love you, Lord, and you are our strength. Then let your heart give thanks. We're people of thanksgiving. Scripture says we overflow with thanksgiving. Scripture mandates that give thanks to the Lord, for this is his will. In everything, give thanks. So we thank you, Lord, all that you have done for us, your mission, your life, the cross, the resurrection, the promise of your return. We wait on you, Lord, as David cries. We thank you that what you reveal to us, what you do for us, and how you lead us through. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. Take a moment and pray for people who overlap into your life. Some are grieving. Some, as I speak, are dying. Some have illness, seasonal illness. Some have injuries. Some are diagnosed with disease. Some are in need of truth tellers and just gospel-centered, Christ-centered friends. Some need guidance and spiritual direction. Some just need to surrender and be saved. Some need help with their emotional woundedness in their life. You know these people. Take a moment and lift them up to our Heavenly Father. We pray for the nations. God has moved in biblical history and in recent history. We pray for the nations. God, move among the nations. We pray for peace in the war-torn areas of Russia and Ukraine. We pray for peace, Lord, in the Middle East and all that surrounds that, everything. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray for that. Lord, we pray for our nation that our hearts would turn to you once again. We can become selfish and greedy, entitled, spoiled. Lord, our hearts turn to you again in the prayer of David. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you, Lord. Pray for the people who are around you today in this service, even if you don't know them, pray a blessing over them. And then your family, wherever they may be, pray a blessing over them today. And then also, you've given an offering. You either brought it today, you gave it electronically anyway, it's still an act of worship. Pray over your offering, ask the Lord to bless it. We exist every day. Our staff, our ministries, everything is to advance the gospel and the kingdom. We ask that you bless your offering today, and then we want to go one notch above that. Remember, there's a greater offering here than your money, and that is you. And we say in the words of Isaiah, "Lord, here am I. Send me, send us, Lord." Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can all be seated. It's good to see you. Good crowd this morning, you all. Thank you for being here. When I look at Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, we see that he mentions four things here: that make your ways known to me, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and just teach me. Spurgeon wrote that in these two verses that David applies for a scholarship four different times in the College of Grace. I like that line. There's obviously a major need in his life here. If you read the whole chapter, you're going to find there's distress, there's stress, there's fear of his sin not leaving him, him not being forgiven. There's fear of his enemies, both here on earth and then spiritual. I wrote down both foreign and domestic, you know, but the picture that there are enemies. And it's just causing him to seek the ways of the Lord in here. And that's what we really want to focus on today, that David is really asking the Lord to guide him in what is the kingdom response. And I'm thick on that as a preacher. You know that. I lean that way heavily. Is every situation before us today, this week, has a kingdom response to it. What is that kingdom response? And that's what David is saying. He's asking to make it known to me, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and then teach me, God, because you are the God of my salvation. And I wait for you. You know, when we do the PACE prayer, sometimes we hold our arms out on the E, which means the E stands for expectation. And we hold our arms out expecting the Lord to work. We're expecting him to do something. And our hope is always in him. So let me bring it to you a little clearer today that I think David is battling what's going on and what the world can do to him and us. Even though it may have been a different world and a culture, it's still the same stuff. It's always the same stuff. Because the world is trying to draw you away from from even thinking about who the Lord is. Any connection, any surrender, it's an absolute plan for the world to have its concepts and its philosophies to just draw us away. And here, you see in this that David's going, I've got distress. I've got things going on. Make your ways known. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And just simply teach me because I wait on you, Lord. So I want to present something to you about kingdom order for a moment, because I believe this is what David is asking for when he says, make your ways, teach me. Guide me, and then continually teach me. That he's looking for a kingdom order of life. I believe heavily. I hope God uses me to make things plain. I pray that every time I preach, and I hope that's who I am as a pastor. But there's a kingdom order to even creation. There's a kingdom order to it. There's the value of life in I see the value of life dwindling, that it's lessening. I see the value of life in the born and the unborn lessening, that life is precious. Scripture says it's short. It's a vapor, a mist, a shadow. It's only here for a little while. If you live to be 100 years, it's still a little while compared to eternity. We're just here for a little while. God has an order to creation, and we're in it. Out of all of that, we're made in his image, and there's value to that. There's a kingdom order to friendships and relationships. Not only ours, but also with the Lord. We know the Ten Commandments become a summary to live by. We've probably forgotten them, if you want to be honest. I don't know if everybody in here could give you a true list of the ten. I think we'd make a good stab at it. But the Ten Commandments were made for one thing. It's for me to look at me. are made for me to look at me, and it teaches me how to live in relationship with my God and how to live in fellowship and friendship and brotherhood with my people. It does both. Simply does that. There's a kingdom order to marriage in the home. It's gone to the wayside. There is a kingdom order to sexuality. And the world is going to give you its concepts and philosophies. I saw something the other night. It said it used to be a Saturday Night Live skit, and now it's become an ideology. You know, the world and its philosophies is even going to bring disorder to the order of sexuality the way God made it. Even finances. Of course, I'm a Baptist preacher. You know I'm not going to leave that one out, right? There's an order. There's a godly order to finances and first fruit living that is there. There's a godly order to our emotions. He doesn't intend for you to live with dread and worry and shame and guilt and fear. He doesn't doubt and worry. He doesn't say that we don't encounter them. He just says they shouldn't claim your life. I'm not saying we don't have them, but they shouldn't possess us. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit that should be what we live by. That's the kingdom order. That the world is always battling God's order. You've got to let Scripture get you there. That the world's concepts and philosophies are against the order of God. And David's feeling the stress and the distress and the rebellion. He's even fearful that God won't forgive his sins. You can read that all in chapter 25. So the world has its disorder, but God has his kingdom order. And David is crying out for the kingdom order. I guess the older I get, the more stories that I have. And I've just grown up listening to stories. And I guess now I'm getting older and tell them. So I was telling Logan Harvey the other day, which when I tell these, he just looks at me like I'm older. You know, that look, you know. I'd been thinking about the world that my parents and Julie's parents grew up in, and then what they saw in their life up until their death. And then I got to thinking about ours. What changes have I seen, Julie and I, from the 60s in moving on up into today? What have been the changes like in just those phases and seasons of life for my in-laws and my mom and my dad, and then what happened with Julie and me, and many of us are about the same age, and you know, all that we've seen. And I was telling Logan this story, and some of you in here are going to remember what I'm about to tell you in our life growing up, and some of you are going to go, there's no way that happened. We remember, those of our age, we remember when TV, only a few stations, right? But we remember when TV would sign on in the mornings, okay? I mean, after midnight or even 11 o'clock, and they always had that little blurb, it's 11 o'clock, do you know where your children are? Do you remember that? It'd come out, do you know where your kids are? So we thought that was silly. I don't think it's so silly anymore, but 11 o'clock to midnight, TV shut down. You turn on your TV, you just see the color bars. You know, that's just it. And then, as they say down in the South, they'd cut it back on in the morning, you know? They would sign on in the morning. And I remember when I became a pastor in the mid 80s. I can remember a TV station would call me, and they still did that. They literally still did that. And so they said, we want you to do a devotion in the mornings for when we start our viewing and broadcasting. And then we want you to do one on our sign off at night. And not only that, they played the Pledge of Allegiance. They did all that, if you remember all that. So I would go into this TV studio on Mondays, and I'd wear a white shirt, but I'd have seven or eight different ties. And I would tape all of them. And so when I got done with Monday's tape, I'd change my tie, you know, and do Tuesday's tape, and change my tie, do Wednesday. But they started the TV broadcasting day with prayer and a devotion. You know? What? And ended it. Stopped it. Not just with patriotic stuff, but would end it with prayer and devotion. I know a younger crowd of here is going, nah, you just talk to the older folks who are nodding like a Tennessee walking horse around you. So we find that, we know that's true. I was telling Logan that, and he's looking at me like a puppy, you know, with that puppy look with that head turn, you know. So I was like, that world once existed. Look how the world's concepts and philosophies have moved in on that. There's always been that battle, and there always will be that battle between the world's concepts and philosophies, which I'll show you in a moment, are against the Lord. I'll prove my point here with Scripture in just a minute. But we're battling that. I believe David is battling that. And that's why David is like, make your ways known to me, because I'm being drawn away. I'm letting even rebellion and fear of things come in. My enemies come in. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Just teach me, Lord, because you are my God, and you're the God of my salvation. And I believe he's battling this. And we've got to understand that God has a kingdom order in the midst of this world. And this world order is intentional rebellion against God's kingdom. Now, look at 1 John 5:19. You're going to say, well, that was back then. This scripture molds my worldview and my biblical view. John wrote, we know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And that has not changed. You and I have got, we head scratch and go, man, where did that come from? I've got a simple answer where it came from. Where did this worldly concept and philosophy come from? It's a no-brainer to me of where it came from. It says the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Look at Colossians 2:8 for just a moment. Be careful, and Paul wrote this, be careful that no one take you captive through philosophy and vain or empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world. Do you see that? And not based on Christ. And part of our hot topics today that we have in our world today and around us today are empty philosophies and deceit that's coming from the world. So it's not based on Christ. So we've got a struggle with the world's philosophies. Paul addresses that here. Don't let those empty philosophies move you. It's based on forces of the world. And forces of the world would be 1 John 5:19. Look at James chapter 4, verse 4. James pulls no punches. Adulteresses. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy. No punches pulled. And the world threw James off a tower, and he wasn't dead, and they ended up beating him with a club until he was. And then when he was dying, he prayed the Jesus prayer on the cross, and that is the ask the Lord to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. You just got to see this. It's got to be rooted in you that the world's concepts and philosophies, listen, it's not new interpretation of Scripture. It's the world's philosophies trying to throw out the order of God. It's where it is. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it is now. Become a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. I just want to tell you, I don't want to be that enemy at all. Look at John 17, verses 14 through 16. Again, I want you to get a picture of the world here and its philosophies and its concepts. And this is the Jesus prayer, the Gethsemane prayer. I've given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, and I am not of the world. Verse 15, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. I don't really have a problem with that one. But he said he wants us to stay in here, you know, hang in here, but that you protect them from the evil one. Oh, so the evil one and the world seem to go together in verse 15. Wow, I could have had a V8. We're figuring this thing out. Right? Look at verse 16. They are not of the world, meaning believers, as I am not of the world, meaning we're of the kingdom of God. And we're to live a kingdom order in the midst of a worldly order. We're to live the kingdom order. John 15, 19. It says in John 15, 19, that if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. Look at that. I mean, if you're of the world, then the world's just going to absolutely adore you. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. And listen, we should be expecting the world to hate us, right? There are people who are real strong in their belief systems that are against the order of God, and they'll not like me. Well, I don't want them to like me, because if they like me, then I'd be thinking like them. But it doesn't mean I hate them. It just means I'm going to say the truth to you. We're going to get to the truth of it. And then that's where the hate actually begins to happen and to take place. It is about loving them. How do we know we are disciples? We love one another. We're commanded to love them with the compassion and the love of Christ. And we do that. We absolutely do that. It's about showing them the love of the Lord, not that we're right and they're wrong. It's about showing them the compassion of Christ. So look at John, I got to figure out where I was. John 18:36, just a moment. My kingdom is not of this world, said Jesus. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom does not have its origin here. It is the order of heaven. It is the kingdom order. But here's the catch, you all. You and I are sent into this world, all right? Don't be upset that people hate you. They're going to hate us. It's going to happen. We love them back. We love them. We love them back with kindness and grace and forgiveness and all those things. It's not about the fight of who's right and who's wrong. It's just about the fight between lies and truth. So we're sent into the world. John 17, 18. As you sent me into the world, again, this is the Jesus prayer, I also have sent them into the world. We're sent into the world. We're sent into this world. For such a time as this, God has put us together at this time. There's times I'm like, man, I'd like to go back, you know, to my younger days when mom and dad, during the summer, they fed me breakfast, and then, heck, I didn't come in till the streetlight came on, you know? And they didn't know where I was. I mean, I'm picking up Coke bottles in a ditch, taking them to Leon Lewis's store so I can get a pickle dog and a ski. Do you know what I'm saying? That's life. Turning in those Coke bottles for a deposit, that's where I'd get my lunch. And the way you found your Coke bottles, by the way, is you found out which sign people threw Coke bottles at. And they missed them, and so that ditch would be full of Coke bottles, and there's the pickle dogs in the ski. God blesses, doesn't he? It's just an awesome blessing. So he sends us into this world. He sends us there. As crazy as that sounds, you and I are meant to be sent into this world that hates us. Look at John 20, 21. Still the same thing on being sent. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Look what the Holy Spirit does concerning the world. In John 16, verses 8 through 11, we've been in the Gospel of John here a lot, that what he says and what he does is that he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9, about sin, because they do not believe in me. Verse 10, about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Verse 11, and about judgment, because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And the ruler of this world is a reference to our enemy, Satan. He's already been judged. But here's what God does. This is so incredible about our God. John 3, 16 through 19. For God so loved the world with all of its vain, empty, deceitful concepts and philosophies. God loves this world knowing that those concepts and philosophies are in direct rebellion against him. Yet he still loves this world. That he gave us his one and only Son. He gave us a way. He gave us a way of salvation. He gave us a way of righteousness. He gave us a way of grace. He gave us a way of abundant life and eternal life. We're just saying he's my everything. He's God's everything. Everything the Father offers me and you, it comes through his Son, Jesus. Every single thing. So that everyone who believes in him, first of all, will not perish. He doesn't want you to perish without him, but to have eternal life. Let's get to the world here more. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He sent Jesus not to condemn the world, which is what a lot of people think, but to rescue, restore, and reconcile the world. He's why he sent him. That not to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18. Anyone who believes in him is not judged, condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already judged or condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Verse 19, this then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light because of their deeds were evil. I believe David is screaming out here, Lord, in the midst of the world trying to overtake me, and my emotions trying to run me, my fear that you're not going to forgive me of my sin and just see me as a person of constant rebellion against you, that I'm asking you in David's prayer that you make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, because you are the God of my salvation. And David spills all that out and he says, and then I will wait for you all day long. But what that word wait means is it means my hope is in you. My hope is in you. My salvation is in you. My waiting is in you. I live with an expectation that God, you are going to answer. That you're going to make your ways known. You're going to teach me your paths. You're going to guide me in your truth. And you're going to teach me in your way of salvation. All that. You know, what I announced last Sunday is a 2-year plan of me fading out. I said, you need a new preacher. You need a new voice from the pulpit. And you need a new voice in leadership. I believe that strongly. And that's going to happen. We'll quickly get to thinking, well, what about this person, that person, this person, that person? And I can do exactly the same thing. But I'm going to go, Lord, I wait on you. So I wait on you, Lord, because expectation, the E in pace prayer, right? I live in expectation, God, that you're going to do and you're going to show and you're going to guide, you're going to teach in all those ways. Julie and I do exactly the same thing. We're looking at it going, okay, God's leading us then, but we're waiting on the Lord with hope. Somebody called Monday they've been listening to our podcast. They're in another part of the state and they don't have a pastor. And so they called me and they go, can you come be our interim? And I said, no, I'm still at Hope Church. And they didn't listen to all of it about the timeline. They just thought I was retiring Sunday. And so they're like, man, can you just come on and be our interim? I said, no. So I threw him Andrew, you know, my son. I said, Andrew, you can call him. The KBC allows him to do some interim work. So I said, you can give him a call. But the point of it is we've got a lot of questions. And David has a lot of questions. Collectively as a church, we have questions. You, in your own personal life, you have questions. I'm just asking you today, would you make verse 4 and 5, it's David's prayer, but would you make it yours? Do you think that you know all the ways? Or do you think there's more to learn? Do you think he has anything else to teach you? Does he have any other paths to guide you and teach me? Because you're the God of my salvation. And Lord, I wait for you. I wait for you with hope and with expectation. I wait for you. And that's our prayer. I ask that you make verses 4 and 5 your prayer. Personally, collectively. And maybe during the invitation, you just want to say, okay, Lord, I'm waiting on you. My hope is in you. My everything is you. My expectations are in you, and I'll wait on you strongly. Before we get into our invitation here in just a moment, we've got a lot to do today, a lot of blessing to do. So, in just a second, Becky and Justin will call you here, and also Ricky and Sherry. We'll call you here, but Becky is Becky Peevler. She's still Becky Walker in my phone. Becky, I'm sorry about that, or maybe I should say to Justin, sorry about that. So Becky has been leading Kids Way for all these years, working here and leading here, and she's going to be going to Cal, Christian Academy of Lawrenceburg. And she came to us, and I said, you know, Becky, this is great for you and your family. This is something you need to do. And she's moving on. So Friday was her last day leading Kids Away. And I know that she has blessed many of you all in her leadership. As parents, you've had kids and grandkids under her care and under her leadership. You've worked for her. All that's involved. So we'll have them in the altar in just a moment. And Becky, I'm blessing you because I'm not making you stand here while I'm doing all that, okay? I know what you want. So I'm honoring that. But we're going to pray over her, and we're going to pray thanks over her for her servants. It's been a spirit of excellence. She knows that Amy and I and others, Dudley, that we trust her. We totally trust her. T's being crossed, I's being dotted, handling everything. Absolute trust, still there. Cal's gonna be blessed, the Christian Academy of Lawrenceburg, to have her. So we want you to pray over her. The invitation's gonna be given, and you can come to them. I know you're coming to Jesus, I get that, but you're thanking him for her years of leadership and work here. And then also we're blessing her to go on. We're giving her a prayer blessing over that. So you're going to find out in the lobby. It'll be on one of these round tables, I believe. We have two places here on the stage right behind this lip. That this is a QR code, and it's going to be already up there. Vanessa's going to put that up there at the end of the service. So she has a registry, Becky has a registry at her school for her room to get everything ready. And we thought, well, I put Ricky as a private investigator. I said, Ricky, snoop this out for us on how we can bless her. And he did. And this is a QR code that goes to her registry. And you can buy things for her and take care of it. which is what Julie and I are going to do. And they'll take care of it from there to bless her room. So we'll have that on at the end of the service, even at the end of housekeeping. We have them here and we have them out in the lobby. So let's bless Becky, her room, and her students, okay? This is one way we can do that. And so also, Ricky and Sherry are going to be here because Ricky is going to be taking over Kidsway as a director. He's worked in it, worked directly with Becky. By marriage, they're cousins. Most of you know that. Some of you don't. But we want to pray over Ricky as he moves into directing our Kidsway. Again, we also want to pray a word of thanks to Ricky for all these years, 20-some-odd years. I'm going to say probably 28 because our anniversary is coming up in August. Of 28 years of serving in Comzo on Wednesday night, serving on Sunday morning in our children's ministry, serving in Vacation Bible School, all that. He left those things the first of the year, stayed with Kidsway. But when it comes to Ricky, we want to thank him for his service on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and Bible school. And then we also want to pray over him and bless him as he moves in to directing Kidsway. Do y'all have all that? Kind of, maybe? Okay, so you're basically going, we're just going to pray over Becky and Ricky. And the answer to that is yes. But it's a thanks for what they have done. It's also a praying over them for what they are going to do in the future. It's what we're going to do. So Justin and Becky, you make your way here, if you will. Sherry and Ricky, you all make your way. I saw Vicky's husband, Steve. I saw him. I said, Steve, you make your way. And during the invitation, our counselors are going to be here. So you all can be wherever you want to be. I'll leave that up to you, both of you all. But if taking care of your kids in any capacity, if you want to thank them for what they have done, and then we want to pray over them for what they are going to do together. So I showed you how we're going to bless Becky, plus our church is blessing Becky beyond that, beyond the QR code. But I want to show a way. Steph, you want to get this? Ricky, this is a surprise to you. This is for all your years of Vacation Bible School. You're looking a little worried. Are you okay? You're looking a little strange there, but all your years of Bible school, all your years of Comzo on Wednesday nights, all your years of working on Sunday morning, and to the kids of Hope and Kidsway, he's known as Mr. Ricky, okay? And he is blessed. So this is one you don't know about. Do you want me to hold it up once he unravels it? It won't bite you. There's no snake or anything in there. We handled snakes when we were in the middle school, Ricky, if you remember. So, I'm going to hold this up for you. Steph and the team had that done. These are all the Vacation Bible School shirts that we've had. Do you see that? Yeah. There you go. That's for you to, it's all that love for you to be wrapped up in, all right? Now, you've got to act just as surprised in the second service, okay? When we do this. Thank you, Sherry. So listen, during the invitation, our counselors, you guys will probably be lined up down there a little more. Why don't you come pray the David prayer? Make your paths known to me. Teach me your ways. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, Lord. Or it may just be simply, I want to wait on you, Lord. You want to come and you want to thank Becky for all the years of service here. She's led you as a parent, your children. You want to thank them. And then we're going to pray over her as she goes to Cal. Same thing with Ricky, his years of service in Comzo, Vacation Bible School, in not only Bible school, but also Sunday mornings. He's still active with children. It's going to be that in Kidsway. And I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to have you stand. Our team's going to lead us. I just want you to come bless them, okay? Let them, give them a hug, give them a prayer, give them a word of encouragement, whatever. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, ladies first, we thank you for Becky. She's grown up in this church. You have used her richly in this church. I see the things not only in kids' way and children's ministry, but Wednesday nights when we need her, Sunday nights when we need her. She's reliable, she's dependable. You have made her that way. You've given her a spirit of excellence to lead parents, to lead staff, to lead children, and she continues that. Lord, my first prayer for Becky is we thank you for her, and we thank you for her ministry here. Lord, we ask that you anoint her and bless her ministry at Cal. We thank you for Ricky, Lord, what he means to us. He's not only in children's ministry, he's also our shortstop when we played softball. I called him shortstop a lot, church. I thank you for Ricky, his love for children. I've seen you grow him in ministry and fill his heart with compassion for kids. And that continues, Lord, as he directs kids away. Anoint him and lead him. Lord, let him shepherd that ministry. And then, Lord, also we thank you for what he's done in Comzo. We thank you for what he's done in Vacation Bible School. We thank you for what he's done on Sunday morning. I want Becky and Justin, I want Ricky and Sherry to know they are loved by you and that they are loved by us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Come bless them if you will. The team is here to bless them as well. And counselors, find your place. Let's pray David's prayer. And let's pray a prayer of, Lord, here we are. We are here, Lord. And we wait on you. The team's going to lead us. You come and you respond.